All right, we're back here on Cinephile and a special edition here of the pod in honor of the Emmys, which took place last night, and a boat full of surprises. We'll get to all the winners, losers, snubs, and all the rest of it. But first, as always, give us some love. Subscribe right now on Apple. You can find us on Spotify, radio.com. And as always, leave a review if you can. I really appreciate that. It helps the pod grow. From MNew321, thrilled Adnan is back. Love this podcast and his take on movies. He's given me a ton of new movies to check out. All right, thank you very much. As always, please do subscribe, rate, and review. We'll have a new podcast coming out tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, excuse me. We're taping it tomorrow. It'll come out Wednesday, in which we'll discuss the new Brad Pitt film, Ad Astra, and all the usual components of Cinephile. But like I said, this is a special one. Just talk with the Emmys, which took place on Sunday night. And I found there to be a lot of refreshing surprises. Normally you watch these and you kind of know where it's going. But honestly, tons of surprises all over the place. And first and foremost, how about Fleabag? Give it up to my girl Claire, formerly a member of Cinephile. The air up there was her segment. She told me months ago, she texted me, you got to watch Fleabag. If I was still doing Cinephile, I'd be talking all about it. Congrats to her and Dan, who just got married this weekend in Nashville. And of course, Claire's texted me last during the Emmys, fired up for Fleabag. Fleabag's the show of the year, man. It wins Best Comedy Series over Veep in its final season. It wins for Best Writing, which it was expected to, but the biggest shock of them all, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, the titular star of Veep, who beat cancer last year. She wins it every single time. She needed to get enough votes for her seventh statue for the role. Seventh statue for the role. If she'd won, she would have become the most decorated performer by the Television Academy. Instead, the final season of Veep, a huge loser, losing in all the major races, from comedy series to supporting comedy actor. Tony Hale loses, and actress as well, as Julia Louis-Dreyfus goes down against Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who, even after they won the best show, her speech was hilarious. She's like, okay, this is a little bit much. You know what I mean? Like, I was expecting a couple of these, but come on. Like I said, she was expecting to win comedy writing, but to beat Julia Louis-Dreyfus and last year's incumbent winner, Rachel Brosnahan, for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and to win Best Comedy Series, I mean, those were surprises all over the place. Joe, I'm sure you were as surprised as I were, specifically that Julia Louis-Dreyfus did not win Best Actress.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially in her last season, especially since in years past, it seems like the Emmys have always honored an outgoing show, kind of like they did with Game of Thrones yesterday. So that was a huge shocker.
Yeah, the ones that I was happy to see, especially early on, supporting actor in a comedy series, the great Tony Shalhoub wins. Listen, I would have loved to see any of the three guys from Barry, Anthony Carrigan, Stephen Root, or Henry Winkler win, but I'm really happy with Shalhoub. A previous guest on Cinephile, I interviewed him at the Broadcast Film Critics Association back in January, so take a listen to that. I asked him about Maisel and some of his other work as well. Supporting actress Alex Borstein was hilarious. She's drinking booze when they announced that she's the winner, next to her good friend Seth MacFarlane, who starts roaring with applause. Again, I would have liked to have seen Sarah Goldberg win for Barry, but Fleabag does not win. Clifford and Coleman were both nominated, but Alex Borstein wins for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So early on, you said, okay, the Academy does love Maisel. Second season, here we go. But those are the major winners. After that, Brosnahan doesn't win for comedy series. Writing goes to, like I said, to Fleabag. Also, the directing for comedy series goes to Fleabag as well, to Harry Bradbeer. So he comes up huge. Now, the good news for Barry fans like me, Bill Hader wins Best Actor in a Comedy Series as he dusts off Eugene Levy for Schitt's Creek, Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Don Cheadle, Black Monday, Ted Danson, The Good Place, and Michael Douglas for The Kominsky Method. And I would say that I thought Hader was just as strong in season two, maybe in some ways better because the show was more dramatic. So I was thrilled to see him win there. You know, RuPaul wins RuPaul's Drag Race, extending reality competition program. Okay. Patricia Arquette continues her late career renaissance. She wins for The Act. I was kind of hoping for Patricia Clarkson to win for Sharp Objects, but supporting actress in a limited series or movie goes to Patricia Arquette. So a nice win there. As I mentioned, that was her kind of career renaissance. But other headlines, along with Fleabag and Veep losing, we mentioned Game of Thrones. As Joe mentioned, they get the Best Drama Series, even though people were critical of the final season and reviews were mixed at best. It does win Best Drama Series, but loses in lots of other major categories, including Best Actress, which Jodie Comer comes up huge, beating Sandra Oh, her own co-star, nominated last year, was seen as the frontrunner this year, but Comer, playing a seductive assassin, wins her first ever Emmy. Another snub was to Ava DuVernay, who wrote and directed all four episodes of When They See Us. That's a dramatized telling of the 1989 Central Park jogger case, saw five teenage boys wrongfully convicted and imprisoned for a vicious assault. Everybody talked about it when it came out on Netflix, but it loses to Chernobyl, the HBO's limited series, as that wins for the best limited series overall. So disappointment there for DuVernay. But the other big surprise of the night, the biggest one was Julia Louis-Dreyfus losing. The other big one, though, is Jarell Jerome coming up huge. That's right, not Jerome Jerinovich, but Jarell Jerome. Rome, the actor. He knocks off Mahershala Ali, an Academy Award winner for True Detective, who was the best part of that show. Sam Rockwell, who's up for Fosse Verdon. And instead, Jerome comes up as the winner. Played the real-life Corey Wise, both parts of When They See Us, in his teenage years and then more than a decade later. And you could see the crowd really get excited when he won. Clearly, it's a show that resonated with people, and it was nice to see him rewarded. Although I was surprised that Rockwell doesn't win, or Ali. Again, Academy Award winners, you just figure they're going to get some love there. As far as Ozark is concerned, Julia Garner wins for Best Supporting Actress. Four nominees from Game of Thrones and Fiona Shaw of Killing Eve. Think about that. Four nominees from Game of Thrones and none of them win. They all split the vote and Garner comes through. And speaking of another big surprise, Jason Bateman does not win for Best Actor in a Drama. Again, he's one of the guys that lost to Jarrell Jerome. Instead, he wins for directing. Oscar actor, producer, director taking the drama directing trophy. Again, multiple entries from Game of Thrones denied, and even Bateman's reaction seemed genuinely surprised, and when he went up there for the speech as well. If you're a fan of Succession, like Cabby, second season of Succession, lighting up social media, Jesse Armstrong, the writer, he ends up winning over the second season episode of The Handmaid's Tale, series finale of Game of Thrones, and the fourth season finale of Better Call Saul. So Succession does not go home completely empty-handed as the writing category does come through. As I mentioned, Game of Thrones does end up winning Best Drama Series, and they even had a nice little montage there honoring the shows that are leaving, you know, like Big Bang Theory and other shows like that that are saying goodbye. But as far as the show itself was concerned, I did think they needed a host. They tried that opening off the top there with Anthony Anderson. Felt a little bit contrived as Bryan Cranston comes on, talks with the best of television has to offer. You would just think with the modern era of television, you'd be able to have a host. Like a host is that kind of connective tissue that brings it all together. And without having one, I didn't think the show was particularly strong. Even the comedians, you know, Colbert and Kimmel came out. They did their best. But I didn't think there was a lot of strong, memorable moments. Having said that, there was a few along the way, including the Best Actor in a Drama Series, which was the winner to another surprise, of course. It was Billy Porter for Pose. Now, these were the nominees he's up against. So I'm pulling hard for Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul. I thought Kit Harington might win Game of Thrones. Sterling K. Brown, people rave about him on This Is Us. Jason Bateman for Ozark and Milo Ventimiglia for This Is Us. Instead, Billy Porter wins, becoming the first openly gay man to win an outstanding lead actor in a drama series. He's got this giant hat on. He goes there, gives a memorable speech. So again, you talk about history being made at the Emmys. Billy Porter does that for Pose. I don't know how many people are actually watching the show, but definitely he was a big winner there. So as far as, like I said, the surprises of the night, Billy Porter for Pose, obviously Fleabag doing so well, even Jesse Armstrong winning for Succession. One other thought for Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage does win for supporting actor. Again, I was really hoping to see one of the guys from Better Call Saul win, Giancarlo Esposito or Jonathan Banks, but instead Dinklage wins for the fourth time. He's a real Emmy darling when it comes to the show. Gave a solid speech as well, says it was the time of their lives and, you know, they bled for the show and all the rest of it. Variety Talk Series, nobody can beat John Oliver. Again, he wins. It was pulling for Colbert to try to get some love, maybe even Jimmy Kimmel after 17 seasons, but John Oliver's a juggernaut in this category. They win for Variety Talk Series, also win for the best writing as well. And one of the better moments of the night, Outstanding Variety Sketch Series, goes to Saturday Night Live. Again, was kind of hoping for Sacha Baron Cohen for Who is America, but instead it is SNL. Lorne Michaels giving a solid speech. He goes up there and spoke with the episode which Adam Sandler returned to the show, first time in 20-plus years, and sang that tribute to Chris Farley, his good friend. And as Lauren said last night, you had camera operators crying, you had boom mics getting emotional, because a lot of them had worked with Chris Farley and had worked on the show when Adam Sandler and Chris Farley were together. And he said, that's what makes the show so special after 40-plus years, that and the politics, he said with a wink and a nod. And so SNL wins once again. Limited series, Escape at Dannemora didn't do very well. I was hoping for Ben Stiller's drama to get some love. Fosse Verdon. Michelle Williams does win Best Actress, so that was a nice victory over Patricia Arquette for Escape at Dannemora and Amy Adams for Sharp Objects. Although Sam Rockwell losing, again, he and Mahershala Ali, he was winning Fosse Verdon, Rockwell was, so he loses there. And the limited series, Chernobyl, definitely a solid winner. So HBO definitely knows what they're doing when it comes to limited series. Not only does that win for the best limited series, but also in a couple other categories as well. So good news there if you're a fan of Chernobyl. The one surprise, outstanding TV movie, I was really pushing hard for Deadwood, the movie. Such a fan of David Milch's work, and the writing is so strong on that show. Maybe even Brexit was going to win with Cumberbatch. Instead, Bandersnatch wins for Black Mirror. So did not see that one coming and didn't necessarily feel strongly about that one. I mentioned Chernobyl winning for Best Limited Series, also won for Outstanding Writing for a Limited Series or Movie. It'll be Craig Mazin. and also one for directing, Johan Renck. So if you're looking for a limited series, Chernobyl will be the one to jump on. I mentioned Arquette winning for the act, continuing her resurgence here. So really been a strong year. And even as she said in her speech, you know, I'm 50 years old, doing the best acting in my career, but I'm still mourning the death of my sister. And she made a plea for trans women, or trans people, in fact, just to get more jobs and to be honored and to be, you know, recognized as regular people. So Arquette's speech, I thought, was strong. Billy Porter also for Pose. Some good memories overall from a show, which, like I said, Joe, I didn't think it was a great show necessarily, but I did think there was lots of surprises, and oftentimes that's a really good part of the show.
I think that honestly saved the show this year. I thought a lot of the bits, like the opening bit with Anthony Anderson saving the Emmys, I thought a lot of those kind of fell flat. Even when Ike Barinholtz and Maya Rudolph came out after having LASIK surgery, I also thought that bit was kind of awkward, even with Maya Rudolph's amazing timing. So I'm glad there was something to keep us kind of entertained. But Adnan, what did you think of Thomas Lennon as the commentator? Do you think that was funny or not?
Yeah, I did see a lot of people taking shots at him. Listen, I think that's a tough shot, you know, job to do, right? Trying to make some clever clips or one-liners. I didn't think it was particularly funny. It was different, but no, I wasn't really in favor of it. You?
Yeah, I thought he had some good quips and jokes at the beginning, but then it kind of just started to fall flat the further the show progressed. But I did really like Bob Newhart and Ben Stiller. That whole bit I found to be very funny.
Oh, yeah, that was great. You know, they did this whole bit where they honoring legends of the past. So they had, you know, Lucille Ball and George Burns, and then Bob Newhart, still alive, is there and ends up telling, you know, Ben Stiller, I hated you in Tropic Thunder. Thought that was pretty funny as well. Definitely, I agree that that was definitely a good moment. But like I said, considering the fact it's the golden age of television, you would have thought there'd be, you know, some more memorable moments. But what do you make of the fact, Joe, my buddy Max Bredos, previous guest on Cinephile, was texting me saying, you know, the Emmys stink because you're honoring a bunch of shows that nobody watches. But I think, you know, you're looking for quality, right? So if Fleabag's supposed to be this good, this is the beauty of an award show, is they're giving love to a show that should be seen by more people. And because it won these Emmys, I know I'm certainly going to now watch an episode or two, and I think more people will, right?
Yeah, I definitely think so, especially Phoebe Waller-Bridge. You know, this was kind of her coming out party, I think, more so than the previous years. So Fleabag is a show that I've never heard anyone say anything bad about, and this kind of solidifies that.
Yeah, it was definitely a memorable night. Like I said, I feel bad for Julie Louis-Dreyfus. You just would have thought the combination of having overcome cancer, having won the statue every single time, that would be enough to win the award, but unfortunately does not come through. Any closing thoughts, Joe? I think we've done an Emmy recap that's suitable for now.
Yeah, closing thought, keep TikTok off the stage of the Emmys. That Ken Jeong bit, I could have done without that whole thing.
I do love Ken Jeong, previous guest on Cinephile. He came to ESPN once. He's a really good guy. He was great in the Comedy Central roast of Alec Baldwin, but yeah, that was not one of the stronger bits of the night. Was there a favorite speech for you? Like I said, Porter for Pose was emotional. Patricia Arquette, I thought, was pretty good. Is there any other speeches that stood out to you?
Alex Bornstein, for sure, because she... It started out funny, but then she just hit this really, really positive note at the end and had the crowd cheering. I loved that speech.
Yeah, it was very good. And like I said, I'm so happy for Shalhoub. Even as he started his speech, he just said, listen, I know people hate when they start reading notes and giving out names and stuff, but I got to do it. Pulls up the notes, pulls up the glasses. So, hey, it's your moment. It's your Emmys. Enjoy it. Once again, thank you so much for checking out Cinephile, the special Emmys recap. We'll be back on Wednesday of this week, a review of Brad Pitt's new film, Ad Astra. Once again, please go to Apple, subscribe. Subscribe, rate, and review. Give us some love. And until then, I'll see you at the movies.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.